Bonus episode of the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast with him,
William Anclow,
and me, Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. Now, a good while ago, we did an episode called Climate Contradictions, and thinking back, without looking it up, that was prompted by a question about a climate crisis denier who said it's actually impossible for man to negatively impact the environment and cause climate change. So, but they in the argument they said, but man can pump things into the atmosphere to cool it down. And my argument was, well, if you can cool it down, surely we can heat it up as well. But anyway, we've had...
That's why it was called Climate Contradictions.
Yeah. We've had something in from Tommy Serafinski about that. He's got something to say on that. And no, Tommy, you've collaborated with him on another series called... What was that series called?
Have You Ever Considered.
How's that series going?
It's out there.
Okay, it's out.
It's out there. Yes. And if you went on to any podcasting platform, you'll find us.
Shall we put a link in the description?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, another link. Anyway, and he was also a guest panellist on Live and Unscripted, Environmental Debate Live and Unscripted in Bothy Vineyard back in May, which is the live incarnation of this podcast in front of an audience, the format expanded. So he's been involved with us for a while. But read his feedback, William, if you could.
Yeah, so Tommy's feedback on this episode, Climate Contradictions. Hey guys, I'm writing as a listener after listening to your recent episode, Climate Contradictions. Indeed, the planet can be cooled by dispersing into the atmosphere sulfur dioxide. Of course, there would be some side effect, or he puts light effect, but I imagine it's side effect.
Yeah.
For example, the sky would be red, seriously, like in the movies. I'm not sure what movie he's referring to there.
Yeah.
But overall, it's quite easy to do. The number of flights required to achieve noticeable cooling of the planet, 1 degree, etc., is actually a tiny fraction of what any old commercial airline operates. So the danger is actually that it's too easy to do, and some richer nations, Saudis anyone, could decide on their own for the rest of the world to cool the planet down. Apparently, calcium carbonate also could be used for that purpose, but I didn't read any deeper analysis about it. And he's also citing a book here you can read about this and much more in this excellent book. And it's called The Wizard and the Prophet by Charles Mann, I believe.
Yeah, so we'll put a link to that in the description, so you can read on that.
Yep.
So,
the point here is that Tommy's making is that we can change the temperature, we can cool the planet down. Now, this would actually, in some ways, buy into the conspiracy theory that's already been done by the what is called known as chemtrails. You know, it's a way of cooling the planet down, or way of controlling us through spraying of whatever particles into the atmosphere. I mean, cloud is just literally just water vapor in the air. You know, so really you're creating more reflective water vapor in the air, probably by putting these extra particles in the air, so it actually creates more cloud cover and actually that reflects more sunlight back. That's probably how I'd imagine how the science works.
So why is it not possible then, this climate crisis denier then, who says it's not possible to actually do that in reverse and heat the planet? Why is it not possible? I don't think that's where their argument fell down.
Yeah, this person can be asserting this, but not actually have the full facts at their disposal. And also just not really be bothered about the actual facts and actually just this is what I think, this is what I feel. We're at a period of, you know, that feelings trump facts. So I think that's probably part of it as well. This is what I feel, you know, I feel this is, you know, we're not, we can't be affecting the climate. It's not nothing to do with us. It's a natural cycle, you know, that type of thing. But then, you know, the number of flights required to achieve noticeable cooling of the planet is actually a tiny fraction of what any old commercial airline operates, which is probably very true. I think there's some stat, something like there's at any one time there's about 50,000 airplanes in the sky at any one moment in time, which is incredible if you think about it. So if the technology is available to actually almost like cloud seeding, I'm going to guess, to actually get more reflective clouds in the sky, I think that's probably the best way of putting it, then yeah, it wouldn't take very much, I don't think.
Well, let's read this book and find out. We'll put the link in the description.
I do remember the other way as well, actually. There's just one side effect came of, I don't know what happened with when COVID hit, because obviously we had a lot less flights in the sky, but the US after it's directly after the attack on the Twin Towers in 2001 on September 11th, all flights were grounded in America, every single one of them. No plane was allowed to remain in the sky. I mean, actually ended up, some flights ended up in the middle of nowhere. There's one story where a whole town actually gathered together and helped a whole flight of people who were just stranded in the middle of nowhere. But there was a 1 degree increase in temperature over that period of time across the whole of the North America, because of the water vapor that the planes were producing was creating, was actually slightly cooling the planet in some ways, because you are creating more clouds, and more clouds mean more, you're reflecting more energy back into space.
Interesting, isn't it?
So yeah, there is that. Yeah.
Anyway, this has been another bonus episode. It's good to have some audience interaction. We have every episode because there's somebody in the audience has sent in a question. But
yes,
these have been two bonus episodes.
That was my glasses hitting the pop filter. If you heard that,
yeah. And anyway, what we want to just highlight is our Patreon page. For as little as a cup of coffee a month, you can gain access to our exclusive content, which is very varied. And how can people find that?
Go to patreon.com/ the People's Countryside. One thing we have been doing recently and we will continue to do is to have early access to episodes. So yeah, we will release the episode on a Monday morning.
Yeah. With the episode going public on the Sunday.
On the Sunday, yeah. So you're nearly a full week before everybody else can hear it. You have to listen to it through the Patreon platform, which is, you know, that's not necessarily where you probably listen to your podcast episode. But if you really want the heads up and you want to be ahead of the crowd, as it were, and you want a bit of an exclusive access to an episode, then that's the way to do it.
So, you know, this podcast is free to listen to, but not free to make. Just bung us enough for a cup of coffee, and enough people do that, we'd be rich.